The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas, unbeatable for convenience, versatility and efficiency. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.
Walter Harnash, you're back to the Sunday Business Show with me, Conal O'Moran. In a minute, I'll be asking what happens when an airline hits full capacity. And then we'll be looking at new ways to work. Then we'll hear about a Trinity College startup trying to smash the ticket touts, or scalpers, as the Americans like to call them. We love a good hack or shortcut, so we'll find out in 8 minutes what you could learn if you attend a two-day branding seminar aimed mostly at SMEs. And the good news may be that you have internet access. The bad news is that it could be, or probably is, rubbish. And that's where a new company to Ireland comes in, and we'll have a chat with them. And of course, that's not all. This is the Sunday Business Show, after all, home of one of the top 10 business podcasts on iTunes. Proud or what? Remember, you can listen to the SBS anytime you like, sitting in the bath or walking the dog, just by downloading us either from the Today FM website or from the aforementioned iTunes, where we are very easy to find, as we're in their top 10 business podcast. Did I just mention that? Amazing. Live at todayfm.com is our email address. Text us on 53102 or tweet us on at SBS2DayFM. And let us start, as usual, with the business behind the brand. This morning's business behind the brand is Wizz Air, the Hungarian-based low-cost airline that has revenues of over 1.5 billion euro and profits just shy of a quarter of a billion euro. And things have been going well at the airline, with the share price doubling in the last 5 years. Like every industry, though, the airline business has its own language. If you want to understand the business, you have to know your rask from your cask. And who better to sort this wheat from the chaff than Group Captain Laura Devoy of Goodbody Stockbrokers. Good morning, Laura.
Morning, Colin.
I always introduce you with something new, don't I? I normally call you Memo, the memory man. She's sitting here, there's not a note in her hand, there's no notes anywhere, and you are now going to give me 8 minutes about Wizz Air off the top of your head.
Okay, well, I think we should start really what's been going on with airlines. So the backdrop for EU airlines is that we should see growth of about 400 million passengers out to 2026. So that's about 4% compound annual growth. And this has been driven by increasing per capita income, which obviously drives the propensity to travel. So for this year, Europe, you're talking about 7%, and that will be led by Central Eastern Europe, where you've growth of 20%. But Western Europe, I'd say, pretty encouraging as well at about 6%. So if you look year to date, the flag carriers, which is your older traditional business models like your Lufthansa's, Air France, have had a stellar year, up 70% compared to 30% for the low cost carriers.
70%?
Yeah, on average.
So
you've Air France up like 125 and that. So what it's been driven by is a cyclical recovery in long haul pricing. So Asia had been weak for a number of years, that stabilised, cargo was good into Europe and the US, and then North American routes remain buoyant. And when you look at these flag carriers, they make marginal returns on capital. So that means anything to drive the revenue line has an outsized impact on returns. So if you make small adjustments to price, you can inflate your profits. But this has a finite time and it will generally run out. And we might be seeing the start of this over the last week. So we had results out from Lufthansa, we had Wizz Air, we had EasyJet. And the key factor was they all pointed to weakness in pricing over the summer period. So we had been expecting that next year could see a return to excess capacity for two reasons. We're going to get a ramp up in aircraft deliveries, but also remember fuel has been falling since April. So if you go back to 2016, what the industry typically will do is when fuel falls, ramp up capacity and the industry gets decimated. And in that year, you would have seen IAG down 16%, you would have seen Lufthansa down 16, IAG down 30, EasyJet down 42. So that was a known, but we didn't expect so much pricing weakness to come in over the key summer period. And I think from here, you know, the performance in the sector is going to revert back to more structural trends. And by that, I mean the exit of capacity by those that are structurally in financial difficulties, which is a lot of the longer haul players.
Are we going to see companies going out of business?
I think you will. Like, there's still an awful lot of smaller players that have like legacy cost bases that just find it really hard to compete with the new low-cost carriers. And that's the second trend that I think will emerge, is that you'll see the continued growth of low-cost because consolidation and improvements in short-haul demand actually favour their model. And if you look, they've actually grown market share by about 1.5% per annum over the last 5 years. So within that then, Wizz is sort of the name. So a lot of people mightn't be familiar with Wizz.
A lot of people, I said, you know, too, we were doing Wizz said what?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yet it's a chunky little business, yeah. isn't it?
So it's been a remarkable growth story, I think, both since it launched in 04, since started, and also since it got a listing in the UK 2 years ago. So they're the biggest carrier in Central Eastern Europe. They operate out of 12 countries, 28 bases, and they'll have carried close to 24 million passengers up to the year end in March. All the upgrades or the economic projections that we've seen for Central Eastern Europe have been positive, and indeed there's a number of countries there that are actually at full employment. So what that's meant is that they've added bases in Albania, Kosovo, Morocco, Kazakhstan, but the heartland for their traffic growth really remains in Bulgaria and Romania. Now, key for them is their fleet is very much concentrated on A320s, and what that gives you is a 180-seat configuration, but that will change by 2026 and they'll move to A321s. And the significance of that is it gives you 50 extra passengers per plane.
That's a lot.
But more importantly, it can drive the unit cost down 12% over the next number of years, such that they might actually become the lowest cost, low cost airline in Europe over that period. So if you look some of the letters you mentioned at the start, right? So cost per available seat mile. At the minute, that's 320 for Wizz Air, which is bang in line with Ryanair. But the cost per available passenger, actually for Ryanair, it's about 44, let's say, give or take. And for Wizz Air, it's 55. And the reason Ryanair is lower is they fly shorter distances. And the reason, I suppose, that the decrease in cost will be significant because it's at a time when Ryanair is actually trying to ramp up capacity in Wizz Air's home market. And our feeling, certainly talking to Mark Simpson, our analyst, and Ula McMahon, their sense is that yes, Ryanair is going to challenge Wizz, but that the growth opportunity in this region is such, and the cost advantage of each of these players is that they should be both able to grow their market share. So effectively, they'll continue to carve up any growth opportunities. They'll effectively operate as a duopoly, and they'll also create formidable barriers to entry for anyone else that wants to enter the market. And the other things I like about Wizz is they're going to grow their ancillaries by €1 per passenger over the next 3 years. So they've moved away from charging you to put your cabin baggage, you know, within the cabin, which is the industry norm. But they'll more than make that up when they do fast track, when they do allocated seating.
Do they charge the famous Ryanair row at the moment? You know, do they charge for it to be allowed to sit down?
Allocated seating is where we're going. But they, and mobile for them. So at the minute, 10% of their bookings come through mobile. And if you actually look, they're the sixth most visited airline website in the world. Ryanair is obviously number one, but they carry, you know, way more passengers.
10% of mobile, that sounds very low to me.
Yeah, but then you remember it's a Central Eastern European market, so they wouldn't be as advanced in terms of broadband and all the rest.
Estonia is the world's leader.
Yeah, but on a general level, emerging markets would be a little bit behind and that. So that will only ramp. And also, it won't have been the key development area for them up to now. Like, you see how much Ryanair has moved digital, but that's been over the last few years as it's become more mature. So as sort of margins move up, returns get better. Obviously, that's profitable for cash flow and you get strength in the balance sheet. And remember, this has been a key differentiator for the low-cost airlines versus flags. And it means they can really go in and attack pricing in a particular region when they have the balance sheet behind them. So they'll have $1 billion in cash this year, and actually that will get to $1.4 billion over the next 2 years.
So what you're saying is that they've got this war chest so they can actually go in and buy market share.
Exactly, and that's what you've seen Ryanair done. When things get tricky, they go in, they absolutely flood the market with capacity, they let prices go on the expectation we're going to take market share, and thereafter we'll be able to hold on to it. And so as the returns on capital are improving, they're close to 20%, it moves them into sort of the elitist club of returns. And it means that if they can deliver, I would say, growth, but not just growth, profitable growth over an extended time period, they could probably narrow the valuation gap with EasyJet and Ryanair, which is about 30%.
Do you like this company?
Yeah, so a lot of people will ask, should I buy Ryanair or should I buy Wizz Air? And I think, you know, there's differences between both. So Ryanair has about 14% of the EU market that could double over the next decade.
Wow.
Wizz Air has 3% that could treble. So there's no doubt that Ryanair is the leader in terms of innovation. So look at the next stages of the model. It'll be feeding into long haul. It'll be hotels as a standalone basis. And as we mentioned, it's a huge development within digital. So for Ryanair, it's all about deriving value from the platform. What you're getting with Wizz is a leverage play on emerging market growth, but you have to be comfortable within that with emerging market risk. And what we're seeing is a transition in consumers. So they don't want to drive now down to the Black Sea, they want to fly to the Med. And that should underpin growth, let's say, for the next 10 years. So the nuances is, one is value from the platform and one is growth. But I would think Wizz Air, there's probably more upside in in the stock. Now, it has had a phenomenal run, as you said, like it's up 40% year to date, 70% on year-on-year basis, despite the weakness we've seen in the sector. Ryanair have results tomorrow, and that's going to be absolutely key to shaping sentiment around the sector. What are they saying around price declines over the summer period? But if you could get Wizz Air a little bit lower, even 4 or 5%, I think it looks interesting.
So anybody who wants to have a look at that one, it's Wizz, W-I-Z-Z, or Z-Z as the Americans might say, Wizz Air. Have a look and always, always, always take professional advice. And you can take that professional advice from Laura Devoy of Goodbody Stockbrokers. All of that.
Good man.
Without a minute, without one note. It's amazing. I don't know. Anyway, let's go and have an ad break and we're going to talk about the future way of working.
The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. So convenient with no need to store, order or pay in advance. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.